All right, well, what I'd like to do tonight is go ahead and get started. I have 535. All right, tonight we have Dr. Jennifer Split-Curl, Vermont, Illinois. Jennifer's been a client of Blatchford Solutions for not even a full year. Jennifer, if you could share with us a little bit about your background, a little bit about Lamont, Illinois.
Well, I am. I was born and raised as a fifth-generation Lamonter. We are a suburb of about, well, back when I was growing up, it was only about 3,500 to 4,000 people, 25 miles southwest of Chicago, but we were pretty far enough removed. There's a big valley with rivers and quarries that separate us from the main highways and such. So it was very rural when I was, more rural when I grew up here.
You don't have to tell us how long ago that was.
How long ago?
You don't have to tell us how long ago that was.
Thank you. And so the town itself is pretty blue collar. There's a lot of industry here. The quarries fit are in Lamont. Actually supplied the limestone that built the water tower downtown Chicago and other buildings that did not burn down in the fire. So we're very proud of that fact. And my family came over from Ireland and Poland and settled here to work in those quarries. So that's how my family got here. And we've built a church here, and one of the churches. There's about four Catholic churches here. And we've been here ever since.
All right, and then you went off to dental school, came back to your hometown, married your high school sweetheart. And
not a high school sweetheart. he and I met when I was in dental school, actually.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
But he's an assistant police chief, I believe, in the town next door. So, Jennifer, tell us about your practice. First question I want to ask, how would you describe your practice to someone? We build you as the super general dentist, not as a cosmetic dentist. How do you describe your practice?
Well, my practice, Bill, is I'm one of those lucky people that get to see the full circle of life. I treat my people who are my parents' age. I treat their children, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephews. A majority of my practice is made up of that, but people who I grew up with, I have a lot of people who come to me that I know through growing up or one of my many sisters that have grown up in town. I see them as well. I'm very ingrained in the community between just not only family relations, but, we're very into the community as well, from being on school boards and volunteering at churches and such like that. You know, the town has grown a little bit since I was actually young, but it still has retained its flavor of being a small town.
Okay. Now, so you came to Blatchford about a year ago. What were you looking for?
I had a successful practice, Bill, but I had attended some seminars actually given by you through the midwinter meeting in Chicago, and I knew that I have done everything that I could to get it to a certain level, and I knew that I could raise the bar of my practice, and it was going very well, but I knew my overhead was out of control. And after trying, for a few years in order to try to get that overhead down and just to get some systems in place, I realized that I needed to get some guidance or coaching, now that I found you, thankfully, in order to get a handle on what I needed to do and how to go about it.
All right, so specifically, what were you looking for? You wanted help, but what did you want help doing?
Getting my overhead under control. My overhead was a little high, and I realized that was the first thing. Second thing, I wanted some better balance in my practice. I just felt like I was like one of those gerbils on the wheel in the cage. I felt like a lot of times I was running and running and running and running, and I really didn't have a point in my day where I felt that it was calm, I guess. So I was looking for balance and calmness. And also I needed to be able to allow myself to give permission to myself to be able to take a little more time off and spend it with my growing family.
So tell us about your family. You just had a daughter graduate from high school, I believe.
I did. And that little sweetheart is going off to the University of Illinois, here in Illinois. And she just had a great go of it at high school. She had probably 300 kids in her class. No, about 350 in her class. So it's a smaller high school, not even 1,300 kids.
And so this is not...
sophomore.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Son's a sophomore in high school.
Right, and he's ingrained in the high school as well. So it's just neat to be able to have a little more time now with them. I'm loving it.
And you were... So you wanted balance in not just in your practice, but in your life.
Absolutely.
I remember meeting with you and your husband in Seattle, and
Yes. That
was one of the things he mentioned, was that how much time, that he didn't realize how much time operating a dental practice required.
Oh, yeah, he had no idea.
He's in the public sector.
Right.
And they don't spend the hours that you spend.
Right.
And he was quite, he was concerned about that. All right, so you have more time off now. Specifically, let's talk about this.
Sure.
Of the balance in your life, what has taken place in the practice to give you more balance? You have more time off, so tell us about your schedule. What was it? What is it now?
Oh, my gosh. My schedule before, I felt like I was on a roller coaster. I would go in on a Tuesday and work like the little rabbit gerbil on the wheel from 12 to 8, and then try to wrap out to get out of there by 9 o'clock, and then I'd be back at Tearside at about 7:30, 8 o'clock the next Tuesday morning, so that I could work an earlier day from until 4, and then following Thursday I'd be back there at 12 to 8, and then going back in at 8 in the morning. So I felt like I never really got a good rest, and it wore on me. And I didn't realize it until actually I got to my new schedule how much it really wore on me, Bill. And I thank you for that. My gosh, that's been the biggest gift you've allowed me to give myself.
What is your schedule now?
My schedule is wonderful.
Well,
I work Mondays from 12 to, Mondays from 10 to 6. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're only working 8 to 3:30. And Thursdays, we do an 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So three and a half days, basically.
Basically, that's it. And we're getting more done, actually. And
what about vacation time?
We went from, I think, the last couple of years, I actually pushed it up to three weeks. How pathetic is that? And this week, this year, I'm taking 6 weeks off, and I don't even feel guilty about it. It's been wonderful. I was just off last week with my kids up in Michigan at our lake house, and it was wonderful, just having some downtime and not worrying about what was going on at the practice, because I knew it was well under control.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have 6 weeks off. You're working three and a half days a week. What's happened to income? That was production first.
Production has increased not tremendously, but it has increased. And as I was teasing you last time, I think I saw you in Chicago, Bill. When was it, in March?
About March, yes.
Yeah.
You saw me in Bend, Oregon.
I saw you in Bend, too. I'm so sorry. But in March, I was teasing you. Thanks to you, I owe the government a big check.
Well, thank you for that.
It happened so fast, my accountant didn't really even catch it. So.
And one thing I would caution all doctors on the call, this is an issue that we have every year in April with new clients. Their net income, their take-home pay increases fast enough that most of the accountants don't notice what's going on, and all of a sudden I get these panic calls in April, and Jennifer got one this year.
You got one from me.
All of a sudden, their accountant says you owe $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 of additional income tax, and of course the question always is, weren't you watching during the year? And we get kind of mumble-jumble, and the answer is no. And so that's one thing I caution everyone on. But since no one pays 100% tax, that's all good.
Good.
So,
I didn't have a problem writing the check either, Bill.
Right. Let's talk
about
that.
Other than having to get rid of, having to hand it over, that was the problem.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that you put in place. You kept a rather large staff. I mean, you have a large staff, in my opinion, from my typical practice. How many staff members do you have?
Well, originally, as you well knew, I had a team of about 10 or 11 people. And after I met with you, Bill, I cut that by four. So now I have a team of six And we all sat down. I've been working, I think the least amount of that someone was working with me of the current team that's in place is probably 8 years. And once I picked the team and we sat down and we decided that, you know, we could go for some really big bonuses if we slimmed down the team probably, but I don't think we could really bear working without each other. I think that's a bonus in itself for us.
Okay, so you have reduced your team a little bit, but not much. You've kept your core group of people. You've got a very nice group of women that work with you. And one of the things that Jennifer did, and we had a seminar on Ben, she arranged a white water trip, and about 50 of us went on a white water trip that Jennifer and her team had arranged. Nice group of people. Now, you mentioned bonus.
Hmm?
You have been bonusing, I think, on a regular basis since we started, and our bonus level, for those of you listening on the call that are not clients, is based on staff being at 20%. So you're keeping your staff below 20% of your gross, and even with six people.
Yes, my team is at 20.
Right at 20, and that's where the bonus starts. So tell us about the bonus. How does that affect the team, and you know what kind of money are they getting? What's their reaction to all this?
Right now I have three full-time team members, and I have three half-time team members, and so the bonuses are divided accordingly. But we've been bonusing every single month since we were at our Dynamo in September. Last September, we've been bonusing every single month. And I think our lowest month that our most full-time people have earned is $600 a month. So,
okay. Right?
And they're happy,
and they're calling me up and thanking me,
which is really funny. They're calling me up and saying, oh, my God, thank you so much for this bonus check and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, and I tell them, you've earned it. You've been doing your jobs, and it's a wonderful thing, Dawn. We are also grateful for that, too.
Okay. Let's talk. What are the positions of your three full-time people?
My receptionist is a full-time person. I have one hygienist who is a full-time person. I have three others that work half-time. And then I also have my assistant who is a full-time. So that's basically it.
And just in general terms, about what are you producing per month now?
For us, we're in about the 127, 132 range, Bill.
Okay, 127 to 132. So
Correct. You're
going to come out around 1.4 for the year with a staff of 20%. So probably I'm going to guess that your overhead is probably going to be well under 60%.
Oh, I'd love that. Even more.
Probably pretty close.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about one of the things we build this call at is how do you become a super general dentist. Why don't you talk about some of the clinical skills you've added in the last couple of years and this year, and just you know, the scope of treatment that you provide for your patients.
I love that question. I think when I first had met you and part of the reason of why I was searching for some help is that I kind of had lost my sense of direction, and that's what filtered down from that, I believe, in my practice. And through your coaching and and Nancy with you, I've gotten a strong vision in place, not only for my practice, but for me. And my husband has sat down with us. We've been doing it with our kids a little bit. But now they've even been getting on board with what they want to do with after school. But in regards to clinical skills, I knew I wanted to do. I've been through the Hornbrook Institute, and I love doing some cosmetic dentistry and the occlusion and all that. But I felt that there was more things out there that I could really enjoy immersing myself in. So I've studied with Dr. Ira Shapira. And got my sleep apnea training through him, which was, if anyone hasn't done any of that, it is so eye-opening. Even my children patients are benefiting from the training I've gotten from that, which is amazing. And then I'm currently enrolled in the Misch Institute up in Detroit, Michigan, with Dr. Carl Misch. He calls it a residency, which I totally agree with him on. You totally immerse yourself in implantology and surgical techniques and pain control, and it's just been probably one of the most wonderful experiences I've had probably since going to dental school and having my kids, honestly. I feel like I've renewed my skills. I'm learning something new. And my patients don't have to go anywhere, and they are loving that. I'm now placing them in my practice, and as I continue on, I really want to get into some more complex cases because I love doing this kind of dentistry.
Tell us a little bit about I have a question here from Linda Winter. I'll answer it for you. The sleep apnea clinician is Dr. Ira Shapira, and mm-hmm. he is in Gurnee, Illinois.
Yes, he is.
And any of you can contact one of us. We'll get you his contact information. But it's Ira Shapira, Gurnee, Illinois. He's actually a client of ours.
He is a dental stud. He is such a smart, personable, wonderful man. I think you should take a course just to meet him, I think. He's just truly a genuine, he's the real deal. He loves dentistry, and he loves to teach people about dentistry, and he's just smart. Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. And he'll give you the time of day. I love that.
He's had sleep apnea. He's been doing sleep apnea for over 30 years.
Yeah.
He probably knows as much about as anybody in the country. So very good. So you've added implant, surgical placement of implants. You've stepped up your restorative courses that you've taken so you can do more complex cases. Very good. Another question here, the doctor that teaches the implants is the Mish Institute up in Detroit, Michigan. And you mentioned somebody for pain control, Jennifer?
Actually, Dr. Mish teaches that along inside this residency. I'm calling it a residency, Bill, because really that's
mm-hmm.
what
it is.
And he donates quite a bit of time to pain control. I mean, we're not talking about oral conscious sedation, or we're not talking about, you know, IV sedation here. We're talking about how to keep people in control with their pain. And he puts aside a lot of time within his lectures in order to teach you that. It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great course. And here's the other reason why I picked Carl Mish. Is when you Google how to find an implant dentist, that's one of the top things that you need to be looking for as a patient, is that they're mistrained.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, he is the gold standard.
Oh, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Carl for 25 years, and I would agree with you. All right, let's talk about some of the systems that you've put in place in your office in the last year that are different than what you were doing prior to meeting us.
Sure.
You talked about vision. Talk a bit about that and how that's impacted your practice and your life.
Well, the vision in our practice has really focused us on what we're there to do. Our vision includes comprehensive care for our patients, and we're not just talking dentistry either, Bill. We're talking medical,
mm-hmm.
getting some medical sides into it, and our patients really are appreciating that we're expanding our scope of treatment so that way they feel like they're better taken care of.
What are you doing along those lines?
We do laser periodontal treatment. We talk to our patients about C-reactive proteins. We talk about the effects of periodontal treatment or broken down teeth with the systemic health. And a lot of them, you know, most of our patients are, you know, asking us for more articles, and it happens. It's an automatic byproduct of us stepping up our treatment through this vision of having patients becoming more interested in our practice, which I love. Our new patients this month have been incredible in July, which you would never expect, I think.
What was your new patient flow this month?
For June, excuse me. We just began July, my goodness. For June, we had 25 patients already.
And what do you do for marketing? That's always a question that comes up.
First thing, we get out in our community. You know, between helping out with our local Heritage Fest and the Relay for Life, and we're helping out next Thursday at a Chamber of Commerce golf outing, things like that. But our
so when you say we, who are you referring to?
The whole team.
The whole team does, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, individually, or usually lately it's been collectively. We've been going collectively as a whole. We're going to the golf outing collectively. We're looking for opportunities. We have really nice shirts that we wear with our logo on it, and we go volunteer in the community. In addition, our team members individually, they volunteer at, you know, they're residents of this town, not all of them, but they come in and they, you know, they're involved between Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, all those kinds of things that we all like to do. Other marketing things, you know, the biggest surprise for us was, Bill, is we started doing these lunch and learns on maybe one Thursday every other month. And this is not part of our team 4x4s. We invite another office, right? You know, we started off with our specialists, like the orthodontists and the oral surgeons, and we invited their whole office and their staff to come to our office, and we give them lunch, and we kind of mingle with them and get to know them a little bit better outside of, you know, just over the phone. And then we have a PowerPoint presentation for these offices that shows them what's going on in our office and what's new in dentistry and how we're applying it to our office. And because a lot of specialists don't even know what general dentists are up to these days, I think, as far as cosmetically and, you know, laser periodontal. Like my endodontist didn't even know about laser periodontal treatment and how lasers work. And so we geared a lunch and learn towards them on that. And so it's been, we've gotten patients, we've gotten the staff members from, you know, we're starting to get staff members from those offices in. And I think now this next few months, we're going to start expanding it to other local professionals like podiatrists and eye doctors and such like that. So that way we can expand our referral source.
Very good. So it doesn't sound like you're doing a lot of external as far as media.
You know, local paper, we do that. We do the local papers, and, you know, we have the ads in the phone books and such, which we still get. We have the internet. Well, the website has been, this week alone, we've had 3 new patients just off our website. But, a lot of it is
external. So let's go on with some systems that you've put in place. We talked about vision. We certainly talked about goal setting with you and your staff. What are some of the other systems that we've put in place that just makes your life easy? What are some of the things you put in place as far as working with your team members?
I think the best thing that came along since sliced bread was you in regards to getting us on the same page with scripting. And with now we don't have to second guess what is said to a patient because we know the answer is standard, among all of us team members. I find I'm not getting pulled away from patients to get something answered. I think that system alone has been probably one of the best things I've ever done. And me empowering them to make the decision along the battle lines, you know, kind of like that book, The Nordstrom Way.
Well, they're able to make the decision. This is something I'd like to point out, is that we go from staff to team, and part of the process of doing that, of course, is getting the doctor extremely clear on the vision, extremely clear on the direction that you're going. And once you do that, then you can allow the team members, individual team members, to use their own best judgment because they will make the same decision that you will have made most of the time. Now, it doesn't mean they'll always make the same decision, but one of the things I've noticed about we dentists, we don't have a corner on the market on always making the right decision either. So team members do very well with this. So scripting for all kinds of patient interactions, and I do point out to listeners that the scripting, while it's not word for word, we certainly have thought it out ahead of time. And we help you, but you come up with your own scripts for things so that it's natural for you with some certain guidelines that we follow. That's worked out very well. Okay, so before you're thinking of other systems, we have a couple of questions here, and this is a very nice way for people to write in their questions. From Dr. Martinez in Florida, what is the goal of the 3 part-time team members?
The goal of 3 part... Actually, my 3 part-timers are all hygienists, so they kind of job share, and it works out really nicely because, you know, things come up, and sometimes the hygienists, like I have, they'll take over Zoom treatments, and they'll pull up models. Or, you know, we sometimes have one kind of, I don't want to say as a floater because most of the time they are actively treating patients, but, you know, it's nice to have someone available to do Zoom, and that's still a very profitable thing for us. So,
And so you have one receptionist. You have one receptionist, one in the front.
Mm-hmm. And I have a part, I have an ultra part, I don't even include her because she's the one who does my she helps me out with billing, like my personal bills. I have hired her on the side just to help me out. But she doesn't even come in. She comes in the office maybe for a couple hours, but then she helps me out more for smaller things, getting those off my plate.
Okay,
not
very good.
Not included in bonus.
Okay, very good. And so tell us some of the systems you've put in place. I mean, how can you do this 120 to 135,000 a month with basically 3.5 people in a 3.5 day work week?
We all are cross-trained. And we're not 100% cross-trained. I'm going to be really admitting that because there's always work to do. We spend our team meetings that once a month to learn skills that everybody else does that we need to get better refined on for other team members. So I think that's
Jennifer,
the biggest key.
Give me an example when you say cross-trained. What would be a skill that your hygienists are able to do today that they weren't doing 9 months ago?
Check people out and run their credit card.
That means making their appointments and actually collecting payments.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the other thing was making appointments in the back before they even get to the front desk. My receptionist is no longer bombarded with, you know, people five deep waiting to get out the deli door.
Uh-huh.
We did, and it's an interesting analogy. Actually, we were just talking about this last Thursday, and I don't mean to interrupt you. We used to, some days in the office, we felt like we were at the deli counter with the waiting room and, you know, take a number, and now we don't feel that way. We don't feel like we're the deli counter anymore. It's really calmed down. We don't have the groupings up at the front desk anymore. It's really wonderful. And again, we're not 100% there yet because I'm still a newbie with you, but we've got the vision in place, and we're getting there. And I'm
excellent.
Sure even after 5 years, we're still getting there, I guess.
All right. I have another question here from Dr. Robert Stafford. How do you pay your staff to participate in outside activities?
They're all on salary. And the way the salary was based was on their old hours, which was actually working more than what they are now, a lot more than what they are, like a half a day or maybe even more, two-thirds of a day more a week. So their salaries, current salaries, which is not included in bonus, was based on that work week. And so when things come up to where we need to, but the bigger thing is they want to do it because they know that for every new patient that we can get into our office, we can convert them into really awesome patients now. We now have the skills to have some really great conversations with patients in our office who are willing to accept treatment and pay up front for it now. So to get them to go to these little things, and it's not an every week kind of occurrence, but they're the ones who are looking for they're looking for the opportunities, and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, this is two in a month. It's me who I'm in the back of my head going, is saying, oh, can we hold off on this one this month? But they're all raring to go.
So here, I'm going to ask you a question. How did our coaching program change these individual staff members into this team that's now pushing you or pulling you?
Because, Bill, quite honestly, I'm a much better leader because of you. That's it in a nutshell.
When you say you're a better leader?
I allow them to do their jobs now. It wasn't that we had a horrible work environment by any stretch. We loved coming to work, but it was getting to be a little bit of a chore just because, we felt like the gerbils on the wheel. But now we have a little more time off. Yes, we're tired the days that we're working, but we have more time off now. We have more time that we're spending with our families, and we're getting financially rewarded. And actually, we have a lot of fun together.
That's the big thing.
We have so much fun together, and I'm very fortunate that I get to work with some talented ladies. That's it, in a nutshell.
Very good. Now, if anybody has questions for Jennifer, because of noise in the background, I'm going to ask you to simply, if you're online, just type in your questions. I will repeat them for Jennifer or myself, and we can answer those. So just do it. You don't even have to speak. If you're strictly on a telephone, you'll have to hit the *6 button on your phone and unmute your phone. But if you're in a noisy environment, I ask you not to do that. So any questions, just go ahead and type them in. Okay, another couple questions that I have for you, Jennifer. What would you say the main difference between the coaching you've received and having a consultant who comes to your office and works with the team? What have we done different? I mean, you've been practicing for a while, so what difference have we made?
You know, Bill, I think the biggest difference was you made it ours.
Uh-huh.
it isn't always the easiest path to go down, but, you know, I'm a firm believer in it takes nothing great is ever achieved without much endurance. It hasn't been that much of work, but we've worked to make this ours, and that's
yes,
what I
have.
Think is the biggest difference. Someone didn't just come into my office, plop books down and manuals, and say, "Okay, read them, and here you go, and turn the key, and you're off and driving." I mean, that would have been a lot easier, but we wouldn't be where we are today without your coaching.
So a couple things. I mean, what do you think was the key in getting the team to go along with this? I remember when you hired me, you know, your team, of course, is not sure they need a coach. I mean, no team does. I mean, we can do this on our own. And I remember, you know, at the first seminar, that's kind of where we are with everybody's team. How did you get past that? How did we get them enrolled in this process so that they're the cohesive group that you have today?
Well, I think in the Blatchford world, we call it they get it, if I'm not mistaken.
And, that's correct.
Yeah. You know, once you get the vision in place, and thankfully through you, Bill, and Nancy, and even your lovely wife, Carolyn, my gosh, and she's probably one of the biggest reasons why I joined your program, because I just love her to death. But I think having you hold my hand through some of these little bits of tougher times of changes that I knew that I had to make in order to demonstrate to them, because, you know, actions are louder than words, to demonstrate to my team that this is where we're going, and we're going to turn this ship around, and it's going to take some work. But once they started seeing those bonuses, and once they started seeing our, you know, it took us a while to get to our final schedule change just because we wanted to have some personal conversations with each one of our patients before we just went ahead and changed our schedule. We thought that we owed them that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but once we hit these milestones, and once we got new, you know, even we got new uniforms in the office, it just encouraged them to become even more cohesive with the whole office and everything.
And you mentioned scheduling. We have a couple of questions here for you, Jennifer. This is from Jenny Perkins. Jennifer, are you a preferred provider for any insurance companies?
Since I opened my practice in late 1992, I have never belonged to any network.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in a rather blue-collar area there. How have you avoided doing that?
Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of... You know, we're in a blue-collar area, but there's also a lot of scientists. Like Argonne National Laboratory is a huge employer out here. And if anyone recalls, that's where the University of Chicago's Dr. Fermi created his first nuclear reactions prior...
Yeah.
So, you know, we had blue-collar workers out there who still do work for the Department of Energy. Then you have the University of Chicago workers, and a lot of them have settled we call it the valleys out here. We're very hilly and valley here. And so I've had a good mixture, and really we haven't had to deal with, up until just recently, you know, I would say within the last 10 years, PPOs and DMOs and such like that weren't very prevalent, I guess.
Okay.
But, you know, I saw the writing on the wall when I first started out my practice, and I just felt that that wasn't something that I really wanted to be involved with, because I wanted to be able to make better decisions for my patients.
Excellent. Another question about what was your production before you started the program?
Well,
Like, what did you do in total of 08, I guess? Well, that was...
Oh, 08. I was probably 890, probably.
Okay, and so about 900, so about 75,000 a month.
07. And
yeah.
Then 08,
so
I went up to almost 1.25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we had several months there at the end. Another question we have here from Karen Clurum. How have you been overcoming patients' objections to accepting treatment?
How do I overcome objections? You know, I guess I haven't had anybody really object. You know, it's their decision, and that's what we tell our patients. You know, our conversations don't come at us telling them what we think they need. Our conversations now come from, what do you really want from us? And we've learned how to better express that through your coaching as well, Bill. And So they're actually making the decisions. We're kind of guiding them along by listening to what they want and where they want to be. And I can't say I really have objections. Now, there's some patients who really don't want to have, you know, don't want to have the laser periodontal treatments, or they don't want to have any periodontal treatments because, you know, they've heard of somebody. Eventually, they end up coming around and having them for the most part. I do not do, what's the word I'm looking for, supervised neglect. I've refused to, and patients sign off on certain things, and eventually...
So they would sign off if they don't do something.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, it gets to a point where, you know, I guess I'm even more comfortable dealing with patients who are rejecting what I say, and we just say, you know what, maybe this isn't a place for you. You know, we don't say that often, but, somewhere that you should, you know, this isn't the place for you. And
to all of
I'm very okay.
On the phone, just to give you an idea of what we teach, see, our whole thing on case presentation is about choices. And our premise is that no one needs dentistry, no one even needs teeth. And, you know, there was a time in sales where we spent a lot of time overcoming objections. I know that worked on my parents' generation. It doesn't work for people anymore. They see right through us. And what we have to do today is let them know that we know that they don't even need their teeth and find out what they want. And once they tell you what they want and how badly they want it and what they've done so far to maintain that or improve that and how that's worked, and there's a series of questions we go through in just a conversational tone, and truly, we let the patient make that decision. And if they choose a decision that it's they're not ready for that kind of treatment at this time, the answer is really, you know, thank you very much for coming in. If we're ever being a help to you in the future, please keep us in mind. That we don't then try to educate them into submission. In other words, we don't try to have clever, when Jennifer talks scripts, I thought some of you are probably thinking that we're probably coming up with little clever sayings when the patient says this and we say that. And that's not it at all. There are some people that truly don't want to go ahead with treatment at this time or a certain level of treatment, and that's okay. You don't put restraining straps on and make them do it. And when you find yourself overcoming objections, I will tell you that the situation you're in is that you have not created the value for the treatment by relating it to what they want. That's how we do it.
That's actually free.
Jennifer, can you add to that?
By actually feeling that way, it's very freeing.
Yeah. You know, one of our clients, Tom DeLopez, who was on one of these calls, and I believe it's archived on our website, he said when he's been practicing 25 years, and one of the things he said is when he learned this method, when he learned this, and really it's more of a philosophy than a method. He said, when I learned this, there was this large weight that was removed from my shoulder because it was the patient's choice to say no. It was the patient's choice, and it was all right with me.
Right.
Previous to that, he felt like his obligation was to try and talk people into that. And he said that was just frustrating, and it was no win. It was the old saying of never wrestle with a pig. You're going to get dirty.
And tired.
You're going to lose, and the pig gets and the pig loves it. So trying to overcome objections is really, it's not something we teach at all. It's create value first. Another question from Robert Stafford to Jennifer. Sounds like you're producing about $10,000 a day. What's an average day look like?
Average day, and we're still refining it, but our average day is where we have a block in the morning where we have a specific goal in production for myself that we are trying to fill. And believe it or not, we are filling it, and it's going smoothly. So the morning is wonderful. We try to schedule our periodontal patients and people with, you know, recalls who don't require exams or periodontal treatments. We try to schedule those type of appointments during that block of time that I have reserved aside in my schedule so that I'm not leaving that patient in my chair who we're doing lengthier or longer or more extensive procedures on. And then as it gets towards our lunchtime, I maybe have an hour appointment with somebody for either a crown or multiple fillings, root canal, And then my afternoon hopefully has another big hour rock in it. And then the rest of it's just light. And it's so nice to know when I hit lunch, I've already made, you know, 60% of or more of my production for the day. Sometimes it's 100% production of the day. And that's our goal. Does it always happen? No, but does it happen most of the time? Absolutely, yes. And I think we need to raise our goals, Bill.
and so it's really, you're very strict on the block booking.
We're actually becoming even more stricter, yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, from Mark Bonnard, how is the office covered when you're on vacation?
The office is covered. I actually used to have an associate for a while. And through Bill's insight, I got an associate a little too earlier than I should have. And because we were finding that there was, she's a wonderful lady, and I love her to death. And we're so proud of her. She's spreading her wings, and she's just started up her own practice this month. So we just had her open house this past Sunday. I unfortunately couldn't attend. I was on vacation. But we're sharing call, and it's working well so far. You know, it's only been a little.
And what about your staff? What do they do when you're on vacation? And how do they do it?
Well, either when I'm on vacation, for the most part, they're on vacation, so the office is closed. But there's going to be a week or two. I'm thinking I might be taking an extra week off this year, and I'm just going to let them run the office by themselves, doing cleanings and periodontal recalls and such, and they'll be able to handle it, no problem. Recementing crowns, seeing emergencies if they need to, and calling me on the phone if they need anything. I'm not, with the way that we're all on the same page now through Blatchford Solutions, I don't worry about that thing.
Does someone answer the phone for you when you're on vacation?
Generally, no. We have a nice outgoing message that says, tell them what's going on and refers them to my old associate. And we don't have anyone answering the phone, really.
Some of my offices actually have the staff members take turns answering the phone while they're on vacation. Others simply close the office. One of the things we work with our clients a lot on is a thing called deserve level. And, patients don't mind you going on vacation. The patients do not mind their dentist having a life. And yet there are a lot of dentists that feel guilty when they're on a vacation. Jennifer, you talked earlier, you mentioned just briefly about something, not feeling guilty about being on vacation or not feeling guilty about making a little more money, not feeling guilty about having fun at work. What were some of the thought processes you went through to get rid of that guilt?
Because I've learned that I deserve it. I think one of the things you said to me is the first time we met, Bill, in Seattle last August, oh my gosh, was that I have two things against me. One is that I'm a woman, and one's that I'm a dentist because of the guilt. And, now that my team is on, we're cohesive, we know what each team member does, we're cross-trained, I think my guilt of being away from the office because, before I thought, well, I'm the only one who can be doing this. I'm not, and actually I'm even replaceable myself, which, I don't want to be replaced. But I know that they can handle it, and they know they can handle it, and it's simple. It's real simple.
Yeah, I think it's a thing about allowing your team to know the direction and run with it. And this is a large part of what we cover is empowerment of that team so that they actually do this, and it's absolutely amazing how many offices we work with that we find a core group of people who are really quite competent, and yet they've never been turned loose. They've never been given the permission to actually make decisions. We actually have a participant in our program, and I actually see that he's on the call tonight, that recently came to a seminar and went home, and his staff started setting goals. His staff started making some decisions in the office, and I got a call from him a month after that seminar, and his response was, oh, my gosh, I can't believe what's happening. Production had gone up about 30%, and all of a sudden, he says, wow, this is easy. these women really want to make this work. And sometimes I think with the team that we hold them back a little bit. All right, here's a question from someone that says, so do you still have an associate?
No.
No.
She, our little birdie flew the nest, and she started up her own practice, and we're just so darn proud of her. She got to learn with some of the best people, as far as I'm concerned, as far as team members are. She had to learn.
She's spoiled.
She was spoiled, yeah. But we're so excited. She's just a talented young lady, and she's going to do wonderfully.
Uh-huh. And where is she practicing, Jennifer?
She's practicing down in Frankfort, Illinois, which is, you know, I think it's about maybe 20 miles from here, 15, 20
miles. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Closer to
did she buy
home.
It back?
Did she buy it back? She started up her own.
Very good for her.
I agree.
So the answer is, most practices, you see, when you're thinking about bringing an associate, the question I always ask is, how many patients are you currently turning away? And most of the time I get the answer, well, gee, none. And then I ask the next question is, how much of your personal net income would you like to give up to pay the associate? Because that's what happens when you bring an associate in. Unless you're turning patients away, unless you're turning treatment away, then you're actually going to give up part of your personal income to do that. So that's what Jennifer's situation was. Question is, from the same person, did your production drop when the associate left?
No, it went up. Well, you know, she was with me for maybe a day a week in the last, I would say, 4 months. Which was helpful, but no, as she cut down, my income actually went up.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
No, I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose patience. It's all good.
Very good. Other questions, people, just type them in. I'll be sure and answer pass them for you. I mean, you've got a person here that's doing a pretty outstanding job running a dental practice and having a life left over. This is your chance. I mean, she's taking lots of time off. She's doing lots of treatment. She's spending hardly any money on marketing. She has very good staff. Let's hear your questions. There must be something you can uncover here from her. I know a lot of you are doubting Thomas's out there, how somebody can do this in a year.
Not even a year, Bill.
Not even a year. It's been about 11 months since we met you. My wife met you at the Chicago Midwinter Meeting.
No, it was the AACD in New Orleans.
Okay. Oh, very good.
Where we were AACD. Sitting in the chairs with the magic fingers.
Yep. Okay. And we met, Carolyn and I met with you and your husband in Seattle last August, so it hasn't even been a year that we've been at this. So,
it's been a very enlightening, we're at what, 11 months now?
Mm-hmm.
I had my eyes opened on the possibilities of what else is out there. Nice.
So here's a question. I missed the beginning. How long have you been in this practice, and what is your active patient base?
I started my practice in the later part of 1992. Actually, my parents gave me a loan of $50,000 to go in on a business condo with as a seed loan, and it's been just a wonderful go ever since. Active patients. Boy, you would have to ask me that. That's one number I probably don't know.
Well, I can. How many days of active hygiene do you have per week?
Oh, we have. Let's see. We probably have about nine. No, you
all
have
right,
about nine.
So mm-hmm. She has about 1,800 patients. It's just one day of hygiene per week is.
110.
That's right. Okay, from Tim Taylor. How many sleep appliances are you doing a month, and do you have a relationship with a sleep MD?
I am just on the upswing with making those sleep appliances. So really, I've done those ones from Great Lakes. I forget the name of them off the top of my head. I've done those.
How many are you doing a month, would you say? I mean, I know you're
about a month. I'm now going to be about one a month.
About one a month. So that's not a big part of your practice at this point.
No. Oh, no.
No.
But I think that the training alone was wonderful.
Yeah, and have you developed a relationship with a sleep laboratory at this point? Next question.
Yes, I have. There's a sleep laboratory that has different locations here in town, and they're wonderful.
All right, and then from Sherry Petrie to Jennifer, how do you pay the bonus, and is it based on individual accountability? Actually, I can answer that very easily. Our bonus is based on a percentage, and in Jennifer's case, we chose 20%, which is what we choose for most general dentists. 20% of the gross goes to the staff. You simply take the total staff salaries plus all fringe benefits, employer costs, multiplied by 5, and that's called BAM. And then the staff divides 20% of everything over BAM equally between the full-time people. And the interesting thing about the individual accountability, just like in my one of the things that we do in our program is I talk to each client on a monthly basis one-on-one, and today I had two clients who have staff members who basically other staff members say, hey, this person is not performing. And so they get very, either they coach that person along to start performing, or if they're not, then they make some decisions, this person is not cut out for this team. But they all get an equal share. All right, so let's say you were on this call, Jennifer, and it was...
I have been in the past before I joined you.
You have been on the past, and you were thinking about hiring Blatchford Solutions as a coach. Knowing what you know now, what would you advise people to do?
Pick up the phone and call and join. It's the best time you'll ever spend.
We'll make it even easier for that because, to hire us, it costs about the same as hiring a dental assistant. I mean, you finance it through Matsco, and it costs about the same as hiring an extra dental assistant. And you're producing good production with a very small staff. I mean, basically, you have two full-time hygienists, mm-hmm. one receptionist, and an assistant. So many people are staffed higher than that. And so you would say go ahead and do that.
I think that the insight that I've gained over these last 11 months, I'm so proud that I know exactly what my numbers are now in the practice. I know what they mean. I have a handle on where we need to go. I think it's been a great journey, and I'm glad I chose this way. And I've looked around. You're my first consultant, Bill, and mm-hmm. I think I chose the right one for me.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate
sure.
that. One thing I'd like to suggest that one of our representatives will call each person on the phone, and we'd be happy. And really what we'd be happy to do to answer any of these questions that any of you have of things that you didn't have a chance to ask tonight, because I know there are questions. We've been doing this. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've done somewhere around 2,500 offices. And, a lot of these questions are sound easy for us, but we've been there. So we can do this with pretty much any practice. All right, so here is a question. This is a long question. My practice is almost identical to Jennifer's as far as 3.5 days a week, 6 to 8 weeks off, as well as very close working relationship with the ladies. Our most frustrating difficulty is attracting new patients. Right now we have 12 to 15 per month, but there's still lots of holes in the hygiene schedule. We have two full-time hygienists. I do large projects usually, one to two a month, $10,000 to $20,000, but we're not getting ahead this year. What has Jennifer done to increase her production?
Quite simply, Bill, we ask people what they want.
So it's really in your...
We work on that on a monthly basis.
So it's really your case presentation skills is the biggest thing in increasing the acceptance of treatment.
Yeah, and our communication with our patients has gotten better.
And what about part of that question, too, is they have trouble attracting patients. And here you are, you're really not doing a lot of external marketing, and yet you're getting 25 new patients a month. What do you think the difference is?
A lot of ours is internal, and we are asking, patients, we ask them for referrals at the end of appointments. Any team member, you'll hear it through our office, asking for referrals, and they do it in their own special ways. But, my special way is with a patient, at the end of any treatment, either a filling or a crown. And I said, boy, it's just been really wonderful. I'll say bonding with you or whatever it is. I'm kind of goofy that way. But I'll just say, I have really enjoyed spending this time with you. And if you ever know of anyone who could benefit from any of my services, boy, I would love to have more people like you in my practice. And that's it. Simple. And it
I can tell you, having observed Jennifer's team for 11 months now, actually I only met the team about 9 months ago, the clarity that they have, and they're all on that same page. And, you know, I think everyone thinks that we treat patients in a warm, caring atmosphere, but I'll tell you, one of the ways you can judge that is your new patient flow. And I look at new patient flow, and sometimes I tell doctors they have a pathologic patient flow, which means if you take the typical average of 15% a year and move away, no matter what you do, and then you take a look at the 15% of that patient base, and then you look at the number of incoming patients, and if it's that number is smaller than the number leaving, then you have a pathologic new patient flow. And the place to look is internally. What is going on internally? I have not seen a magic bullet for marketing yet externally. I mean, if there were, I'd just sell that and make it real easy. But it's mainly case presentation. I mean, it's sales skills, and it's getting the entire team on that same page.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Jenny, this question came from Jenny. You can't respond, but does that answer your question? It's the sales skills and communication skills of the team.
And Bill, I'm going to be very much admitting this. You know, we've got great communication skills, but we have a lot of room to grow in, actually, I believe. I mean, we're just mm-hmm. now getting out the video camera. You know, we're practicing. And,
yes.
And our team meetings are becoming even more productive, so we're almost wanting to extend them onto another day a month. Working
very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that says a lot for your team when the team actually wants to have more time for staff meetings. That's very good. All right. Well, I'd like to thank Jennifer for being on this call. We had a large audience on the call tonight, Jennifer. And for those of you on the call that are not clients of Blatchford, one of our representatives will contact you. We can answer these questions for you. My request is take their call and just talk to them. Jennifer?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.